Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Mark with Pastor Dave. In the midst of the pandemic, Pastor Dave began the book of Mark, and it couldn't have come at a better time. Amidst a world full of confusion and turmoil, the book of Mark centers us on the hope of the gospel. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave as we begin the book of Mark.
We can still gather as a small group to lead you before the throne. But I'll tell you that attached to the magnificence of it all is almost a sadness that I think we're supposed to feel, a holy sadness. And it's not how this is supposed to be. And if we feel this way, certainly God feels that way, that this is not how it's supposed to be. It's the fallenness of sin that's caused these things in our world. And I just believe that he has a word for us tonight, that in the middle of this wilderness season, this uncertainty, it's bleak as far as we can see it. We've got crazy mandates that are unprecedented. We've never seen it globally like this before. Certainly nationally, where the federal government has asked us, don't go out of our home, shutting everything down around us. Financial security to some degree has sort of been rocked. Being able to socialize, anything that we would do that we would find comfort in, going out to eat, going to the bowling alley, going to a movie, whatever it would be, it's like it's been stripped from us like that. And it showed us here just how truly finite we are and incapable of controlling really anything that matters. In the blink of an eye, in less than a week, you look at how drastically things have changed. And God's allowed all of this. He's bringing us to this wilderness experience because I believe that he's saying to us as his church what John said to these people some 2,000 years ago. Make your paths straight. You got some crookedness in your life. You got some sin in your life. And it's never a word of condemnation. If you read John's heralding as a word of like condemnation, then you read it wrong. It's never a word of condemnation. It's always a word of invitation. It's always a word, when it comes from God's Holy Spirit, it's always a word of plea. It's never a word of like an arresting officer on the scene of a crime or on the scene of a car accident that's been severely impacting on others or something of that nature. It's always the tone of like a paramedic, a concern of broken bones and mending and making whole. And that's the crying out of God's Spirit, whether it would be through John or David, me tonight, or whoever it is that you would normally sit under. It's in the midst of this wilderness that God has allowed. Listen, that's where he's being found right now in this wilderness experience. If you're viewing tonight because you don't know where else to look, the outlook is bleak, so you're trying the uplook. You've been invited to watch this message. One of your friends tagged you on Instagram or Facebook, or maybe this is on Facebook. It's been shared, and you were scrolling through, and there I am. And so you stopped, and you saw a really tall man preaching the gospel. So you stopped, and you listened. And I'm even taller off camera. You should see me one day. But even in the midst of all of that, this is God pleading to you the same thing that was pleaded these thousands of years ago. And it's a message of invitation, not condemnation. And it's to straighten your crooked ways. It's to repent. But repent, it's taken on this negative connotation. Repentance is not a bad word. Repentance is a word of invitation at metanoia in the Greek. It's change your mind. Think differently than how you've always thought. Stop thinking the way that you've thought and stop going the way that you've always gone based on the culture or your upbringing or past religious experiences that have done you no good, but rather change your mind, do a U-turn, and turn unto God and receive the remission, the forgiveness, the purging, the purifying of your sins. That's the gospel. God's greatest deed, dying on the cross for our sins, is man's greatest need. Just that full forgiveness. God, you've forgiven me. I didn't earn it. I didn't do anything in order to receive your affection, your love, and your attention. But Lord, you just bestowed it upon me because you're kind and you're gracious and you're long-suffering and you're gentle. And you even allowed a whole catastrophe like this to happen because I would have never looked at you, God. I would have never at 8 o'clock on the dot on a Wednesday evening toward the end of March ever tuned into a Bible study. But I am now because of my circumstances, because of my bank account, because of my job security, because of my fear of a virus that's killing people. I am now, God, and it's only because of you that you allow these things to happen that now I'm looking to you. And God says, exactly, and that's all I've ever wanted. Now come close so I could shepherd you. So there's this whole message that went forth then. As antiquated as it is in time, it isn't in relevance. It's going forth today. God's Spirit, I believe, is crying out through his church if we're being faithful to his heart. The way that he did through John, this wasn't John's message. It was the Lord's message. It's not my message. It's the Lord's message. And he wants to speak through his heralders of his coming. Because as he came the first time, he's coming again. And all of those signs that I mentioned just a few moments ago are to lead up to his return. And Jesus, in the Gospels, as we study through, we'll see these things. It chronologically, it will only be a few years from this timeline of what we're studying tonight. But at the end of his life, on Palm Sunday, which we're nearing right now, he would ride in on a donkey. And as he would ride into Jerusalem, and all the streets were filled with people heralding him and declaring him, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and they're throwing down their cloaks and they're waving their palm branches. It tells us in the Gospels that Jesus would begin to weep. And essentially, as he's weeping over the city of Jerusalem, seeing the near destruction that would happen in 70 AD, but ultimately into the time of Jacob's trouble, of course, seeing futuristically, he weeps and he lets out why he's weeping. He says, had you known the day that was among you, Had you really realized what was going on, you would be responding so differently in your heart. In other words, you didn't know Bible prophecy, and you should have. And because you didn't, you missed it. And the same thing could be said if God's Spirit doesn't get a hold of us on nights like tonight and into the near future, should he tarry. He's coming again. There should be a message of his coming, just like there was of the first coming. John should have been no surprise to the people. They were used to prophets' voices. It had been hundreds of years since they heard a prophet's voice. God sent this Levite, the son of a priest, to the nation, this cousin of Jesus to the nation, preparing them for his coming, declaring plainly and simply to anybody who wanted to hear it, there's no exemption. It's to all that would come. It was for them. This message of all you have to do is allow God to speak to your conscience, speak to your spirit. You don't receive the gospel with the intellect. You receive it with the depths of you, your spirit. Let God's Spirit bear witness to your spirit of his truth, and that you've thought wrong and you've went about it wrong all your days till now, and respond to this invitation, not condemnation, to turn your ways unto him, to yoke up with him. To yoke up with him, anyone who's weary and heavy laden, he invites him to yoke up with him and go in the same direction that he's going, and you get to receive this eternal life so that you're ready for his second coming. And there will be no reason why you shouldn't be, because like there was all the prophecy concerning his first coming, there's over 300 more prophecies concerning his second coming. A third of the Bible is predictive in nature. And what it tells us is for us to be able to say, oh, the Bible said this, the news is displaying that. Oh, the Bible said this, the news is displaying that. That must mean that people get ready. Jesus is coming soon and very soon, you see. And that's what God's doing in this wilderness time. Even if he tarries 5 years or 15 years or 50 years, we know that life is but a vapor. And this is an awakening for our nation. This is an awakening for our state. This is an awakening for our city. This is awakening for our county and for our suburbs here in upstate New York. This is an awakening for us. In this wilderness, God's Spirit is crying. John's was no doubt with his loud, passionate voice so that he could be heard among the multitudes. But I think the crying of the voice of God's Spirit is a little different on a night like tonight. I don't think it's not that it's not passionate, but I think that it's broken. And I think it's him calling his people, straighten the crooked ways. You got adultery going on. You got fornication going on. You got a corrupt spirit. You got one foot in the world, one foot in the church. You're putting substances in your body that are influencing you to a place where you're not thinking clearly. Whatever it is, it's as though God is saying to us as his church, he's coming. He's coming. Just like John said of Jesus, he's coming. There's one that's coming that's mighty. The message is the same tonight. He's coming. So get ready. Make your path straight. This is the grace of God being poured out. He hasn't come yet. He's coming. So while there's still time, when is he coming, Pastor? Is he coming tomorrow? I don't know. Is he coming next week? I don't know. No man knows the day or the hour, but the signs and the times were given for us. When you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. They have to happen, and they got to get worse before it gets better. The birth pains, they're happening. They're happening. It's undeniable. They're happening. An earthquake in Utah today, 5.4 magnitude. It's happening. All these things, the rapidity of them, how fast and how hard, the severity of them, they're coming. Make straight the path. And the invitation to the world around who doesn't yet know Jesus. Well, is it too late? Can I come? The answer for you is yes. Yes, come. Come now. Come tonight. Come while there's still opportunity. Come while the day is still called today and while it makes sense to you. That's God's Spirit. It's God's grace pleading with you to come. Don't put it off. Putting it off, saying I'm just not ready, not yet, those are decisions. While it makes sense to you, if God's Spirit is zapping your heart tonight, if you're understanding grace, if the scales on your eyes are being removed, if your heart is softening, if your ear is opening, respond to the loving kindness of Jesus. Respond. You have to give to him. You have to exercise your free will. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anyone. We have to respond to his love. God is reaching out to you the way that he did to the nation of Israel through John. He's reaching out to you tonight through his word. The words of John are resounding from the page. They're echoing. This is the excellency of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's his unmerited favor. It's his undeserved favor. Nobody can earn it. Nobody could work for it. Nobody could obtain it on their own. It's just God graciously dishing it out on all men, all women, all colors, all ages, everywhere tonight. So that when he comes again, we'll be found ready. It won't be a thing of I didn't know. How was I supposed to know? You now know. You're held accountable for what you know. And you're supposed to know because God has given his word. And as we open it and as we move through it, we see these things so that we're not blindsided. He doesn't want to blindside us. He's a gracious, loving God. And he tarries, if you're here tonight listening, and you're wondering, well, it's been said for so long, I just don't know why I should believe it, right? He only tarries so hard-headed people would come to him. Just patient, slow to anger, and abounding in just amazing forbearance and gentleness and loving kindness. So as we sort of close our study tonight in this portion of God's word, you know, you look at these things, you see here a man himself who had failed so greatly that God restored and used so wonderfully, penning this letter for us. He says, oh, I'm so thankful. One mightier than I. One more powerful than I. One more able than I stepped onto the scene, agreeing with what John would have said. So thankful that he came and did what I could never do for myself, not worthy to get on my knee, which no Jew was ever even allowed to be employed to do for another Jew. The Talmud says that would be outlawed. That's ridiculous for another Jew to be employed by a fellow Jew to have that duty. That was the duty of a Gentile. And John knew what he was taking here as an illustration. He said, I'm not even worthy to get on my knee and touch his dirty sandals. And you think of what he's saying here. That's his younger cousin. Just all the more validity to the person, the deity of Jesus Christ. Not even worthy to unlace his shoe. He's so much more mightier, so much more firm and able and powerful than I. And I got to believe that Mark and Peter, or Mark and Paul, or Mark and just himself with the Holy Spirit was chuckling as he's writing these things, thinking, I'm so thankful that he is, because he was mighty enough to take a failure like me and make a success story. So much so that Paul would say at the end of his life, in his last writing in 2 Timothy chapter 4, as he was writing to Timothy, his protege, he would say to him, I need this and I need that. Demas has forsaken me and he's gone back to the world. But when you come, bring me my cloak and my studies and these things, and also bring with you Timothy Mark, the guy that he said some two decades before, no way is he coming with me on another missionary journey. That very guy, the transforming work of God's Spirit in his life was so had that at the end of Paul's days, he said to Timothy, bring him with you when you come. He is profitable for me for the ministry. Philemon, verse 24, one chapter in that book, Paul would regard John Mark as a fellow servant of Jesus Christ. That's a success story. I'm not going to let this guy who wussed out, who chickened out in the beginning of his ministry days, I'm not going to let that be the final thing that's said of him. God says, I'm going to take him. This is the gospel. I'm going to take him. I'm going to transform him. I'm going to empower him. I'm going to make myself real to him. I'm going to redeem him. I'm going to restore him. I'm going to dust him off. I'm going to put him back on his feet again. And I'm going to use him so wonderfully that his gospel is going to be resounding through all of the ages till the trump sounds and Jesus Christ calls us home. I want to do the same thing for you. If you're listening right now, if you're streaming right now, and your heart is pounding, and your soul is dancing, and you want to receive this same type of forgiveness, maybe you feel like a failure up to this point. Maybe you feel like, man, you've just blown it every which way up till now. You've thought that God surely is done with you. Even in the midst of this catastrophe, you maybe even looked at it and regard it as all the more God's done with you. God's fed up. He's just going to judge the world now. God did not come to judge the world and to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He wants to save you. He doesn't want to judge you. He doesn't want to condemn you. He already was condemned and judged on the cross for you. So if you're listening to this, if you're streaming, if you're watching this, God's Spirit is having me say these things for you. And I want to give you an opportunity right now where you are to respond to this marvelous gospel. That's the first thing that Mark writes about when he begins to pen this scriptural truth. The beginning of the good news, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ. So the Bible says that if you believe in your heart what I'm sharing with you, that you are a sinner, that I am a sinner, that we are sinners, and we need to be saved from our sin. If you believe that in your heart and you believe that Jesus is the remedy, he's the antidote, he's the one who provides what we need to be saved. If you believe that it's only through his sacrifice on the cross that you could be washed away of your sins, that you could experience the remission, as John says, the putting away of your sins completely. If you believe that in your heart, the Bible says, and you say it out loud with your mouth, you will be saved. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be in the seats of the sanctuary where I'm preaching or another heralder is preaching. You don't have to be in an auditorium. You don't even have to have anybody with you. Maybe you're alone right now in your bedroom. Maybe you're in depression like I can't even imagine. Maybe you're in a place of isolation. Maybe you're quarantined right now and you feel like you're going to die. Listen, Jesus, his love extends to you right now wherever you are. And it's you and it's him and you know if it's real to you. And I'm going to give you this opportunity wherever you are, a hospital room, wherever you are right now with your wife, with your kids. Maybe you are the kids of your parents and they're next to you, your spouse, whoever it would be, even if they don't want to go with you, even if they don't want to join you, if this is real to you right now, where you are, I'm going to invite you to repeat out loud after me. Jesus said that if you profess me before men, I will profess you before my Father and all the host of heaven. So it doesn't matter who's agreeing with you or who's applauding you. This is you and Jesus right now. So if you're with me on this and you're feeling strong, you feel like this is what I want to do, go ahead then with me and repeat after me as I lead you in this prayer. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Thank you that you are mightier than me. Thank you that you are everything that I am not. Please be my Lord and my God. Help me to follow you and to walk after you all of my days. Not just in this storm, not just in this uncertainty, not just in the midst of this scare, but for the rest of my life, help me to follow after you and to live to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I believe by faith that there were people that are streaming, that are listening in, that repeated that prayer. And if you did, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you can write in on whatever streaming device that you're using. Send us a message on Facebook, Instagram. Shoot us an email at info@ccwestside.com. You can write in. You can pop in during the week. Our staff is still here. You can call the church. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to congratulate you. We'd love to personally, verbally welcome you to the family of God. We'd love to give you a Bible if you don't have one. We believe that the gates of hell and whatever else seeks to storm against the church will not prevail, that God is still moving and God is still working in a wonderful way. So for the rest of you that joined in, God bless you, God keep you, God make his face to shine upon you. We're going to sing one last song together as a worship team. We want to lead you just to join in on with us of worshiping the Lord. We were created to worship, and certainly why we were created comes into place as we sing to Jesus, especially when it's a sacrifice of praise, especially when it's a scare like this, a time of craziness like this. There's something that the Lord does for you and I that is indescribable when we worship him. And so if you want to stand to your feet or if you want to kneel, there's no shame in any of it. Whatever you want to do to glorify the Lord, we welcome you to do it. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.